Okay, Shalom Rav Moshe, today's daf is Yuma daf Nun Aleph. We're here in Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, about four lines down, Ularev Sheshes. But before we get into the Gemara, so we definitely need a bit of backstory over here. We had been trying to figure out whether the par on that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur is a Korban Yochid or a Korban Sibor. And Korban Sibor slash Korban Shutfin. And we had quoted a Brisa, right, basically in the middle of Nun Amud Beis, that basically said that a zevach is more machmer than a tmura. Tmura being the substitute if you try and transfer kedusha from one animal onto another animal. So the second animal is called a tmura. So we said that a zevach, a regular korban, is more machmer than a tmura in certain ways, and the tmura is more machmer than a zevach. And just to clarify, we'd said that the zevach is more machmir because you can have a korban that's either betzibur or biyachid, and it's also docha Shabbos and tumah, and it also can make a tmura, which is not true by a tmura. A tmura cannot make a tmura. You can't make a substitute of a substitute. Right? You can't extend it three ways. And then we had said that the tmura is more machmir than a zevach, right? That the tmura can end up on a balmum because if you try to transfer the kedusha from a korban onto another animal, that animal is a balmum, so that works. And you can't be poda a tmura to get the animal back. Which is not necessarily true by zevach. So the Gemara had said, "Hi zevach echidami." What is this zevach? What korban are we talking about? Right? It's not talking about. And we had settled that it must be the par on Yom Kippur. And again, according to that Tana, therefore the par offered by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right, is a korban yachid, right, and therefore can create a tamura, which was what we were trying to figure out. So Rav Sheshes had replied, and this is what we're going to deal with right now. To that, Rav Sheshes had replied, said, "No, lo ba elo shal Aaron." Really, they're not talking about the par that is brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We're talking about the isle, the ram, which is a korban ola. And Rav Sheshes tried to prove that from the fact that a tmura of a korban chatas, right, is holy chlamisa, right? You can't bring a tmura of a korban chatas, because the implication for the brisa was that you could bring it, you couldn't bring it. It's not docha Shabbos, it's not docha tumah, but you could theoretically bring it on a weekday, which is not true, meaning because again, like the tmura of a chatas has to be killed. So therefore, according to Rav Sheshes, right, it must be that they were talking about the isle, the ram of the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur. The Gemara had come back and said, they are talking about the par, and therefore the tmura that we're talking about in the Brisa is general tmura, but the zevach that we're talking about is a specific zevach of the par that the Kohen Gadol brings. Okay, with that long, winding introduction, we get now to the Rav Sheshes. Ula Rav Sheshes. According to Rav Sheshes, right, the Mokim Lav Elo Shel Aaron that said that this whole Brisa, right, that compared a zevach and a tmura was talking about the specific zevach, the specific korban of Aaron's ayo, Aaron's ram, the korban ola that he brings on Yom Kippur. So look, Mav Pesach. Why did Rav Sheshes jump to that example? You could have just taken the korban Pesach. Right, the dochetz Shabbos is a tumah. The osetz more of the korban yachidu. Right, you could just use korban Pesach, which has all the characteristics listed in the brisa. Right, it's dochetz Shabbos, it's dochetz tumah if necessary, and also you can use it to make a tmura because it's a korban yachid. So why did Rav Sheshes jump all the way to Yom Kippur? Right, the korban Pesach is a much more common korban. So the Gemara says, "Kasover ain't shochtan a Pesach ala yachid," because he holds that the korban Pesach is not a korban yachid. Right, according to Rav Sheshes, you're not allowed to shach the korban Pesach for a single person. If you remember from Psachim, right, that's exerted because we don't want someone, if it's only on one person, that person becomes tamei, so the korban gets messed up. So the Rav Sheshes tells that you're not allowed, it's not actually a korban sibur, a korban yachid, it must be at least a korban shutfim, right? It always has a couple of owners, so therefore you cannot use it to make it tmura, therefore it wasn't a good example. I have an open Pesach Sheni. Okay, so what about Pesach Sheni? Right, the Pesach Sheni, right, they brought the month later, right, it must be that you can bring the carbon Pesach Sheni for a single person, right, that's already the Gemara said it back in Pesachim. So the Gemara answer is the Midachi Tumah. So according to this opinion, right, according to there was a Machlokas over there in the Gemara as well, right, whether it is Docha Tumah. meaning, as we're going to see in one second, right? So therefore, it's not Docha Tumah. Again, you needed a korban that is Docha Tumah, Docha Shabbos, and can be brought as a Tumura. So regardless of whether you tell me that it's owned by a bunch of people, or you're talking about Pesach Sheni, regardless, right, you're missing one of those aspects, right? If it's Pesach Rishon, it can't be made a Tumura because it's not a korban Yachid. And if it's talking about Pesach Sheni, it's not Docha Tumah according to Rav Sheshes, which we're going to quote that Machlokas in a second. So I'm going to Rav Huna Berei, Rav Yeshua the Rava, Vitana, Rav Huna said to Rav Rava, and he taught the following, right, the Tana of the following that we've been talking about, Maishna Pesach, the Kar LeKorban Yochid, and Maishna Chagiga, the Kar LeKorban Tzibur. If you remember, right, we said before that the Korban Pesach is a Korban Yochid, the Korban Pesach is Korban Yochid, and Rabbi Yaakov had said the Korban Chagiga is a Korban Tzibur. Right, again, that if you remember, that was we had a Tanakama, right, and they brought kashas on that. So Rabbi Meir had said that one of the Korban Yochids, that is Docha Shabbos, and is Docha Tumah, is a Korban Pesach, and Rabbi Yaakov had said is one of the Korban Tzibur's that are not Docha Shabbos and not Docha Tumah is the Korban Chagiga. So the Gemara asks, why do we call the Pesach a Korban Yochid and the Chagiga a Korban Tzibur? Right? What's the difference between those two Korbanos? Imishim da'asi b'chinufa, if you'll tell me that you bring it all together, meaning all the Jews bring it together, so, well, Pesach nami asi b'chinufa, right? The Korban Chagiga is brought by all the Jews who come to Yerushalayim, so is Korban Pesach. So that can't be the difference between the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. So the Gemara says, Ika Pesach sheni da'lo asi b'chinufa. Yeah, regular Pesach, the Korban Pesach, is technically Korban Tzibur, but the Korban Pesach brought on Pesach Sheni, that's brought not with all of Am Yisrael, so therefore that's the Korban Yochid, that's what we're talking about. Now, Amar Leih said back to them, well, Imkeni, Dechus Shabbos is a Tumah. Well, that, if you tell me, if that's true, then Korban Pesach Sheni should be Docha Shabbos Docha Tumah. So Amar Leih, it does, Kemanda Amar Dachi. There is an opinion who says that it is. And this is again why we're bringing this. The Tanya, like Lunda Breisa, Pesach Sheni, Dochus Shabbos, Ve'im Dochus Atumah. According to Tanakama, the Pesach Sheni is Docha Shabbos, but not Docha Tumah. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, after Dochus Atumah, it's even Docha, if someone's Tumah, he can also bring the Pesach, Korban Pesach Sheni. Gemara says, my time of the Tanakama, what's Tanakama's logic here? So I'm going to you, if they tumaso dechiso, it was already pushed off, right? Again, how do you get the Pesach Sheni? If you were Tame on Pesach Rishon. So it's already been pushed off for Tumah once. So if you ask a Betumah, you're going to do it a month later, Betumah? So why don't you just do it at the proper time a month earlier? So it can't be Docha Tumah. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? No, the Pasuk said, Amar Kra, Kechol Chukaz HaPesach Chiasu Oso, Afilu B'Tumah. Right, the Pesach Sheni has to be exactly like Pesach, the first Pesach, right, implying that even if it's Tameh, right, if and if a person is Tameh, right, just like if most of Am Yisrael is Tameh for Pesach Rishon, you bring the Korban Pesach, so too, if people are Tameh for Pesach Sheni, it is Docha Tumah. HaTorah Hechzira Allah, just to finish up review the statement, right, HaTorah Hechzira Allah Vlasoso Batara, right, Lo Zocha Yaseh Batumah, right, the Torah wants you to make the two Korban Pesach and Tara, right, that's why it pushes you off a month, but if you're not Zocha B'Tahor, if you're, I don't know, if you work the Chavah Kadisha, whatever it is, if you're still Tameh, or you're Tameh again a month later, okay, so Yaseh Batumah, right, there's no reason why you shouldn't be off of Pesach Sheni B'Tumah. Okay. We had basically said with Rabbi Elazar, again, yesterday we had mentioned, if you look at Rashi, Boy the Rabbi Elazar, the La'el, Pariyam Kippur, the Gemara, right, okay, right. So we had said yesterday that Rabbi Elazar had asked whether the Kohen Gadol's par is a Korban Yochid. Why? Because we wanted to know whether you can do Tumura, right, on the par of the Korban of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Right, again, if it was a Korban Yochid, then you can do Tumura. If it's Korban Shutfim, if it's owned by the rest of the Kohanim, right, again, we had a discussion, right, since all the Kohanim get atonement through this cow, so how do you view, or through this ox or bull, more accurately, how do you view the Korban? Is it owned by Aharon? Right, again, Aharon, on the one hand, Aharon pays for, the Kohen Gadol pays for it out of his money. On the other hand, you're getting atonement for all of the Kohanim through this par that the Kohen Gadol brings. So who owns, right, the Korban? Is it the Kohen Gadol? I.e., if it's only the Kohen Gadol, then it's Korban Yochid, and you can do Tumura off of that korban, or if it's a korban shutfim, if all of the other kohanim own it together, so then you cannot do tzmura on that part. So the Gemara says now, the Vatepik lay, why don't you learn it from the Asher Lo Amrachmana? From the fact that the Pasuk says Asher Lo, that the Korba, the par, is Asher Lo, belongs to the Kohen Gadol, Torah says that three times. Why don't we learn that since it emphasizes three times, it must belong to Aaron and not all the other Kohanim? Right, as the Gemara is about to explain, that was basically the next couple lines, but right, now let's see it inside. Vatepikle, the Asher Lo Amrachmana. Why don't we learn this halacha, right, the fact that it's a Korban Yochid and it belongs to the Kohen Gadol alone, right, from the Pasuk that says, it's Asher Lo, it has to be his. Mishalohu Mevi, right? He has to bring it from his own money. The Tanya, like we learned in the Reisa, Asher Lo, right? That's the Pasuk. Right? Mishalohu Mevi, Vo Mishal Tzibur. The Kohen Gadol has to buy it from his own money. Yachalo Yavi Mishal Tzibur, Shein, Tzibur, Miskaprim Bo. Maybe you shouldn't bring it from the money of the Tzibur, since the Tzibur don't get Kapara from it, right? The part of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is for him and all the Kohanim, but it's not for the rest of the nation. So maybe you shouldn't bring it from the public funds. Aval Bat, Yavi Mishal Efchav Kohanim. Maybe you can bring. Maybe some of the money can come from the other Kohanim, Sharei Echav HaKohanim Miskabrim Bo, because after all, the Kohanim get atonement from this. So Tamal Omer, therefore the Pasuk says, again, Asher Lo, has to be his. But Yachalo Yavi Vim Hevi Kasher, you might have thought that Lechachila, the Kohanim, should not pay for this par, but if they did, it's still kosher. So Tamal Omer, therefore the Pasuk says, Shuv, again, Asher Lo. It says it's a third time, Shana Kosov Alev La'akev, right? The Torah said it even once more to make it Ma'akev, to make it crucial that the Kohen Gadol has to buy the par himself. So how could you even think that this is a korban shufim? It's clearly it's owned by the Kohen Gadol. He has to buy it entirely. So Gemara says, well, the Talmeich according to that logic, echav haKohanim yilav dekanu begavei heichem mechaperlu. Right? If the Kohanim, on the other hand, right, if the Kohanim don't own it at least partially, how can there be a kapara? Right? Again, a korban chatas. Right? Again, this par is a chatas, a korban chatas to atone for sins. Right? A korban chatas atones for the owner of the korban. You cannot bring a korban chatas for your cousin. Right? That doesn't work. Right? Yeah, it has to be his. Right? So how could the Kohanim not have some sort of bailus here? So Ella shiny bay gaza the iron. So it must be that it's just different. Right? It's a different korban. Right, that this korban is different. The Afkar Rechmana Gabi Echav Kohanim. The Torah has made it hefker, not really, but the Torah has changed the ownership by this cow, so by this par, by the bull, so that it belongs to Aaron, but it also belongs to the Kohanim. So Echav Gabi Tumur Nami. So maybe over here, right, by Tumur as well. Shani Be Gaza the Aaron, right, the Afkar Rechmana Gabi Echav Kohanim. And therefore, that was exactly the question of Rabbi Elazar. Maybe since the Torah has by definition, you must say that the Torah has attributed some ownership to the other Kohanim, because otherwise it wouldn't atone for them, it wouldn't be mechaper for them. So maybe by Tumura as well, right? Maybe that it's owned by some of the Kohanim, and therefore you cannot make it Tumura. The question is, right? How much? How far does that halacha extend? Okay, fine. That's the end of that difficult sugya. Definitely requires some chazara. But now we have a new Mishnah, completely different topic, really. Now, again, continuing on in the process of the Kohen Gadol's avoda in Yom Kippur. We had said, right, again, previously we had said that the Kohen Gadol takes coals in a shovel, carries it in his right hand, takes ketores in a ladle or a spoon, carries that in his left hand, and that has how he would go into the Kodesh Kodashim. So now the Mishnah says like this: Hay mahalach beheichal. Right, the Kohen Gadol was walking in the heichal in the Kodesh, right, where they had the menorah, the shulchan, and the mizbech hazav. Ad shemagia lebein shtei haparochos, haparochas hamavdilos bein haKodesh ubein Kodesh Kadashim. Until he got to the two curtains between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Hakadashim, ubeinehem ama, and between these two curtains was an amma of empty space. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Lo hayis hasham ela parochas achas belvad. Right, actually there was only one curtain. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vdila Parochas Lachem Ben HaKodesh Ubein Kodesh Kadoshim. Right, the Pasuk says that the Parochas, singular, should differentiate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's Rabbi Yossi Shita. The Tanakhama holds that there were two curtains and an Amma in between. Rabbi Yossi holds that there was one curtain. Now, just to be clear, in the Mishkan, there was one curtain. In the Bayis Rishon, there was actually a wall that was an Amma thick, which is, if you can imagine, an amma, I think it was an amma thick, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see it in a second in the Gemara. And that's already, you know, a seriously thick wall that had a doorway that was covered by a parochas, that was covered by a curtain. And the Bayis Sheni, that's this machlokas over here, whether there were two curtains or one curtain. Okay, then we'll get to the Gemara's Guide. This is all clear in the Gemara. I'm just giving you a heads up because we just read in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, Shapir Kamar Lu Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbanan. Right, Rabbi Yossi seems to have a good proof. Right, the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, said that there were two curtains, right, between the Kodesh Kodashim and the Kodesh, one Amma of empty space between them. Rabbi Yossi said, what are you talking about? There was one paroches, one curtain. The Pasuk says, Vivdila haparoches, single paroches. Right, seems to be very clear. So Rabbanan Amri Lecha, the Rabbanan would say to you, Hani Biyu B'Mishkan. Yeah, okay, that Pasuk was by the Mishkan. Abba B'Mikdash Sheni, but in the second Beis HaMikdash, came to Lahavi Amma Traksin, since there was no Amma wall, right, there was an Amma thick wall between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim, V'Mikdash Rishon Hu D'Havoi, right, that was in the first Beis HaMikdash, right, V'Istavka Lahura L'Rabbanan B'Kedusha, say, and the Chachamim, right, again, since the wall in the second base, there was no wall in the second base of Mekdash. In the first base of Mekdash, like we said, there was a wall that was an Amma thick. In the second base of Mekdash, there was no such wall. V'Istavka Lahura L'Rabbanan B'Kedusha, say, and the Rabbanan had a suffix in terms of where is the Kedusha, right, E'Kelefnim E'Kelechutz, meaning, where does the Kedusha of the Kodesh Kodashim go up to? Is it through the Amma wall, or does it stop at the Amma wall? So they didn't know what was the status of that Amma. So therefore, Vavuchti Parochos, therefore they made two, right, to make sure that you close off, right, that Amma, because otherwise, if you only have one curtain, where do you put it? Right, they weren't sure where to put it, so therefore they had two parochos and they left that Amma in between with nothing. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, without the Rabbis, the Bein of Mizbeach, the Menorah HaMahalach. Now, so the Gemara is going to now debate. We're going to have a three-way debate how the Kohen Gadol walked with the coals and the Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim. So Tana Rabbanan, without the Rabbis, the Bein of Mizbeach, the Menorah HaMahalach, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds he would walk between the Mizbeach and the menorah. Again, just in terms of your own edification, if you have a diagram in the Gemara you're learning from, great. If not, again, we pointed out earlier in the Masechta, maybe a week or two ago, that the arrangement in the Kodesh was as follows. You had the Shulchan to the north, to the south. No, menorah is in the south. Just trying to, again, if you're looking at the overhead, right, west, east, no, that correct, I'm good. Okay, the Shulchan was in the north, the menorah was in the south, and the Mizbeach Hazav was between them, but offset a little bit, right, a little bit to the east. So therefore, the three kelim in the Kodesh had some sort of triangular setup, with the Mizbeach closest to the entrance, right, the menorah down towards the south, right, and parallel to the menorah was the Shulchan up north. So if you're telling me that the Kohen Gadol would walk between the Mizbeach to the menorah, so basically, and the menorah, he would basically walk, again, a little bit beneath, right, south of the Mizbeach, up around the menorah, and then back down again towards the entrance between the two parochos. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Meir Omer, sorry, one second. Sneeze. Okay, sorry. Rabbi Meir says, Bein Shulchan LeMizbeach. No. He didn't walk between the Mizbeach and the menorah, he walked between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. V'yesho, remember, the third shita is Bein Shulchan Lakotel. Not only did he not walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, he walked between the Shulchan and the wall, meaning he was walking up across the northern part, right, the top of the wall, the wall between the Shulchan he walked between the Shulchan and the northern wall of the Kodesh. That's what I was trying to spit out. Okay, so Gemara says, "Man Yesh Omrim." Who are the people who hold? Right, who's the third sheet over there? I'm Rav Chista, Rav Yossi. It's really Rav Yossi. Amar Pischa Behechal Tzafon Koy, who says that the entrance to the Kodesh Kadashim was in the north. Meaning, this Machokes, whether the curtain, where was the entrance? Meaning, sometimes you kind of like get this grand notion that the Kohen Gadol took his hand and swept the curtain across like some sort of shower curtain or whatnot. So no, that's not what had happened, right? Basically, the curtain stood and he went around it. So meaning there was some sort of space between the curtain and the wall, didn't go all the way across. And if you had two curtains, so you had one curtain extending from, let's say, the north to the south and stopped a few feet from the south, and then the next curtain would extend from the south to the north, right? And then right, stop a few feet from the north. So basically, the curtain would walk in like a loop, right? You'd enter underneath, and then go through. Right, he walk through the Amma, right? He wouldn't push away the parochas at all. He'd have to kind of sliver between the cracks. Okay, So that meaning that's Rabbi Yossi's shita, who says that the entrance was in the north. So therefore, right, it makes a lot of sense for the Kohen Gadol to just stick to the north wall and walk straight, right? Because he has to get into the entrance over there. That makes sense that it's Rabbi Yossi's shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Pischad Behecha Badaram Hekoi. Right? Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, right? Again, who walked. If Rabbi Yehuda said that he walked from the menorah, right, between the menorah and the mizbeach, so he went, that's towards the south, so Rabbi Yehuda would say that the entrance was to the south, so therefore, right, that's why he walked between those two kelim, because he had to get to the south. For Rabbi Meir, so again, the third shita, right, that he walked between the shulchan and the mizbeach, right, so he holds between the shulchan and the mizbeach. Rabbi Meir, k'man savrulei, who does Rabbi Meir hold like? Meaning, was the entrance on the north, or his entrance on the south? If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that the entrance was on the south, so now Rabbi Yehuda. So why doesn't the Kohen Gadol walk like Rabbi Yehuda's? Why didn't he take Rabbi Yehuda's path? And if he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that the entrance is in the north, so now Rabbi Yossi. Why wouldn't the Kohen Gadol just walk across the top north wall like Rabbi Yossi? So why would Rabbi Meir say that he has to go between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? Right, that seems to make no sense. Seems to be nishtah here, nishtah there. So Gemara says, Lolem Rabbi Yossi Sfirilu. Really, really holds like Rabbi Yossi, who held that the entrance was in the north, right? But Amar Lechabi would say to you, Shulchanos Tzofon V'Dorim Munochim, right? Rabbi Meir would say that there were 10 tables that were north to south, Umafsika Lei Shulchan V'Lo Mitzayolei, right? And that blocked, meaning the Shulchan therefore blocked the way of the Kohen Gadol, that he couldn't get there. Meaning, what 10 tables are we talking about? Obviously, the Shulchan translates as table, but what is that? So Shlomo Melech actually built 10 tables. Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim that Shlomo Melech built 10 tables, put 5 to the right of the Shulchan and 5 to the left. Now, just to be clear, the Lechem Aponim always went on the Shulchan that had been built for the Mishkan, right? That's not the 5 tables that were not. That was not to put the bread on. Right? It was just again, it was on either side of the actual Shulchan, but that's not where the bread went. Those shulchanos obstructed, according to this understanding, according to Rabbi Meir, right? Those shulchanos, those extra tables, obstructed the path to the north because they pressed all the way up against the wall. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol had to walk between the mizbeach and the shulchan, and then go back up again to get into the Kodesh Kodashim. So Iboy Seima, or another answer, Lola Mizrach U'Ma'ariv Munochan. Really, the tables were east west, meaning, and they did not obstruct. The way, if the walking, the path, right, if you hugged the north wall, right, you could theoretically walk straight into the Kodesh Kodashim, but, so therefore, why did he take this weird path? Mishum Shechina, right, Lav Orachara, right, it wasn't appropriate, right, that Lav Orachara, Lamayal Lahedja, right, it wasn't appropriate to walk straight in. Right, so Rabbi Meir, again, he agreed that the entrance is in the north, right, but it wasn't appropriate for him to just walk straight in. It wasn't covered, because the Chorah, he would have been staring into the Kodesh Kodashim the entire time, right? He would have been dead straight ahead. So therefore, it was much more kavodik for the Kohen to walk in between and then kind of approach the Kodesh Kodashim, right? Like as if he was just getting to the door, to getting to the entrance. Okay, we'll do a little bit more tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem, have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.